When Jesus appeared after he rose from the dead, Pastor Ray Bentley says he emphasized his bodily resurrection.
Jesus said, I love this. Come handle me. Come touch me. What Jesus is saying is, you can know me by experience. I have eyes, and I see you, and I have hands, which were nailed for you, and I have feet that took me from heaven to the earth and carried the cross to where I was crucified for you.
Spread the news. All of his people coming down before the King. Lift your voice. Jesus is coming. Join the song. Sing along. Let it ring.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Today, we walk with Jesus following his resurrection. We'll eavesdrop on his conversation with a couple of discouraged disciples as they walked along. We'll see the disciples didn't recognize him until they dined with him later that night. Let's track this fascinating account. Here's Pastor Ray to get us started.
Okay, let's open our Bibles to the Gospel of Luke chapter 24. And Lord willing, we are going to finish the story of the Gospel of Luke. So beginning in verse 13, now behold, two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. So they're talking the whole week since Palm Sunday and the Passover, two Passover, and then Christ being crucified, and then these crazy ladies saying that he is alive, but they don't really believe it yet. So it was while they conversed and reasoned that Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were restrained so that they did not know him. And he said to them, what kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad? And then one of those whose name was Cleopas answered and said to him, and note the name that is given here, Cleopas. This is a guy that we're going to want to meet and talk to when we get to heaven. So Cleopas doesn't recognize Jesus, and he's saying, hey, what's going on, guys? Why are you so glum? Why are you so sad? Cleopas answered, are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? And have you not known the things which happened there in these days? And he said to them, what things? So they said to him the things concerning Jesus, Yeshua of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Notice it's past tense. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. Yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us. When they didn't find his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it, just as the women said, but they did not see. And then he said to them, O foolish ones and slow of heart, to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Messiah to have, and notice the first thing Jesus said, suffered these things and to enter into his glory? You're walking away today, you lost your faith because the Messiah suffered. Isn't that exactly what the prophet said would happen to the Messiah? Jesus said he came in humanity to show us exactly what it would be like to walk with God and to be a friend with God. There will come suffering. There will come brokenness. So Jesus came and talked with them, and the meaning of life suddenly became clear. The darkness became light. Jesus told them the whole story. And he began to share with them, it says in verse 27, that and the beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Beginning with Moses and the prophets. Where did Jesus take them? We don't know. We can only use our imagination. Maybe he said, hey guys, You've heard of Abraham, the friend of God. Have you gone to chapter 22 when God asked him, the father asked him to sacrifice his only begotten son, Isaac? That's what just happened to the Messiah. That's what just happened in Jerusalem. Have you read Isaiah chapter 53 about the Messiah? You read all the chapters Isaiah talked about, the glory of the Messiah, but did you read the chapters that talk about the suffering servant who was also appointed by the Lord to suffer, not for his own sins, but for others, as a lamb led to the slaughter, and that he would go and give and offer his life? And so I wonder, as Jesus must have made his way through the prophets and through the law and all the types, everything in the Old Testament pointed to Jesus and to the life of Jesus. I mean, they had everything they needed. They, out of their own mouths, of their unbelief, told Jesus, well, yeah, we had witnesses who actually saw the empty tomb, and we heard, and the angels showed up, and they announced that Jesus was alive. They had all the evidence, they had all the witnesses, all the proof, and yet they're telling Jesus that they don't believe. So I want you to look with me in verse 28. Here's an interesting thing that happens. After this Bible study that Jesus gave to them, where everything happened to Jesus the week before was the climax and culmination of all the prophets. It says in verse 28, though, just when they're being drawn in, then they drew near to the village where they were going, and he indicated that he would have gone further. Oh, I'm going on down the road. But they constrained him, saying, no, abide with us, for it's already toward evening. The day is far spent. And he went in with them. I love this. Jesus gives them a Bible study where they're feeding on every word. They're realizing, wow, this guy is opening the word to us. It all makes sense. Now we see exactly what happened to Jesus is what all the prophets and then Moses told us would happen. And right when their hearts are getting warm and filled with hope and it's coming together, then Jesus says, well, fellas, here's the bend in the road. You're headed that way. I'm going down this way. And they say, no, you can't. You cannot leave us now. They're in a deep conversation where illumination and revelation is coming to them. So let me ask you a question tonight. Because this, do you want to go deeper with Jesus Christ? Are you satisfied with whatever it is that you know or understand? We have barely scratched the surface. There is so much more to know. I've been reading and studying the Bible for years. And the more that I learn, the more I realize how many layers there are, how much depth there is, and how I dabble up in the top few layers of understanding. You will never plumb the depths of the Word of God. Ephesians says that for eternity, the Lord will be revealing to us the riches and the depth of the love, the height and the depth and the width and the breadth of the love that He showed for us through Jesus Christ on the cross. In other words, it will take forever and we'll never get to the end of understanding the love of God that was manifest in that one act when Jesus left heaven and became a man and humbled himself and became obedient and died as a criminal for nothing. He was not the sinner. We were. You can't read the Bible too many times. You can never say, well, I've heard that or I know that. In fact, if you ever get to a place where it's, you know, getting dry and you think, oh, I've heard it all before, you are in a scary place. Dangerous place. God forbid that I should become deaf, dumb, and blind, and numb, and non-feeling. That's what the enemy wants. The enemy wants you to not feel anything. Many people are afraid to go deeper with God because it'll hurt too much, it'll feel too much. Well, that guess what? You're made in the image and the likeness of God, and God feels infinitely. And yes, it's going to hurt. Yes, it's going to rip your heart out sometimes. It's going to stretch your mind. But that's how you know you're alive. Amen? That's how God uses even pain and suffering. Do you want to go deeper with Jesus tonight? And I exhort you, don't be afraid to just say, yes, Lord. Even though there's part of you that will flinch and say, I don't know, what's it going to cost me? Well, let me tell you what it's going to cost you. Everything. You're going to die. But that's okay. It's the old you that's going to die. And it's worth it. Just by faith, trust me. Trust what Paul, the apostle, said. Trust what John is saying. And even Jesus. He'll leave you where you are. Or you can say, no, I want to go deeper. Plead with him. Beg with him. Lord, lead me deeper. And let him know that you really mean it. And he will. Now, verse 30. I love this part. In verse 30, it says, now it came to pass as he sat at the table with them. So they talk him into it. I love that. You have to talk Jesus. No, I want to have more prayer, more conversation. So finally, they talk him into it. Now, what does that tell you? That if you persuade Jesus passionately with your prayers, he can be influenced by you to stay longer, to experience him more. And it came to pass as he sat at the table with them that he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. And then their eyes were opened and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. And they said to one another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us? And so they rose up at that very hour and returned to Jerusalem. Now they're heading east. And they found the 11 and those who were with him gathered together, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. And they told about the things that had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread. This was probably, when it says breaking bread, we often think of communion. I don't think this particular time was communion. I think that it was simply an ordinary evening meal in an ordinary house when they had an ordinary loaf of bread and they broke it and gave thanks and Jesus handed it to them. Many Bible scholars say that, you know, again, it was dark, Jesus maybe with a hood on, and as he handed them the bread, they saw his hands. They saw the scars that were in his hands. And I just think it's so beautiful. They recognized his hands once again. We can have fellowship with Jesus not only at the communion table, we can also be with him at the dinner table. Jesus is not only the host in the church, he is the guest in every home. And I love it. As soon, I can almost imagine Jesus going, oh, this is going to be fun. Here's your bread. And their little eyes go, bing. And as soon as they recognize him, he vanishes. But I've always thought that he's still sitting there looking at them. But they can't see him. And they look at each other and they're looking around. Where'd he go? Wow. We saw him. Did you see his? I mean, he wasn't a ghost. He had real hands and he had the scars there. Wow. But he's gone. But he's still there watching and listening. I think Jesus listens around our dinner tables and he loves it when his children talking about him. His ears are burning and he's listening in to our conversations about him. There's a verse of Malachi, I think it's chapter 3, verse 17, that there is a book written of remembrance, the gems. He considers us jewels when we remember the Lord, and when we talk about the Lord. He absolutely loves it. There's nothing more fun than talking about the Lord Jesus. And as we fellowship and begin sharing with one another.
Pastor Ray Bentley will have more of today's study in just a moment. So many listeners have shared comments on what Pastor Ray's teachings on Maranatha Radio have meant to them.
What a blessing it was to be taught by Pastor Ray. He is greatly missed. But Pastor Ray's son, Daniel, has taken the reins and is doing great work in teaching God's Word. I can see the Holy Spirit burning in Pastor Daniel, and I am proud to support and be led by him as my teacher. May God's hand continue to rest on Daniel as we pray for the entire Bentley family.
These teachings continue here on the radio thanks to the support from listeners like you. If you'd like to partner with Ray Bentley Ministries and Maranatha Radio, just go to our website at raybentley.com. That's raybentley.com. And now more of today's message from Pastor Ray Bentley.
So verse 36, it says, now as they said these things, so here they run back. These guys run back to Jerusalem, which they should have done in the first place. They go into the 11 and they tell them, hey, we've seen Jesus. He's alive. And they're in a room. And as they said these things, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said to them, "Peace to you." But they were terrified and frightened and supposed that they had seen a spirit. They thought they were looking at a ghost. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your minds? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." I like that. Jesus says, I have flesh and bones, as you see I have. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. But while they still did not believe for joy and marveled, he said to them, "Have you any food here?" And so they gave him a piece of broiled fish and some honeycomb, and he took it and ate in their presence. That's one of the happiest verses in the Bible for me, because I love to eat. And Jesus wanted to prove, I'm not a ghost, I'm not a spirit. The first thing Jesus did was to calm them, and then he blessed them, for the God of peace had raised Jesus from the dead. The second thing he did for them was to show them his wounded hands, and then his wounded feet. Someone has said that the only work of man that now exists in heaven are the marks of Calvary on the body of Jesus. The only remnants of what we did are there in the hands and the feet of the risen Jesus Christ. I love that in verse 39, Jesus even invites them to feel his body. There are many people that say, oh no, they want to keep everything mental, everything cerebral, everything is thinking the right thoughts. The best way I can describe this is you can't separate things out like that. That is not biblical. It is not the way of Hebrew or Jewish thought. You can't separate spirit, soul, and body. It's all just one package. Let me ask you a question and be very careful how you answer. How many of me do you guys see up here? And hopefully the answer is one. But there's physical me, there's me in my mind, there's me in my feelings and emotions, there's a spiritual me in there. But I'm one. You can't separate it all out. And many people get off a little bit in this hyper-spirituality. And it often happened even in the false religions or cults, is that it's all the ethereal things. And that's where most of the cults are today. That's why they take the cross out of it. And when they take the cross out of it, they take the very power of the life of Christianity out of it, because it's all this, you know, you're sitting on, I don't know, in a lotus position, or you've got your eyes closed, and other religions they want to get rid of the body or get out of the body or have a consciousness that floats around without a body. That's weird, number one. It's abnormal. It doesn't do anything for you. He never intended for us. That's crazy to do that. Jesus said, come handle me. Come feel me. Come touch me. What Jesus is saying is, you can know me by experience. I have eyes, and I see you, and I have hands, which were nailed for you, and I have feet that took me from heaven to the earth and carried the cross to where I was crucified for you. One of the great mysteries of the incarnation is that God became flesh and blood and bone. He says, I'm not a ghost, guys. I'm not some weirdo thing out there. Come handle me. Come touch me. That's the shocking, powerful reality of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's tangible. It's real. It is something that you can know. When the Bible says, taste and see how good the Lord is, it means taste and see how good the Lord is. Know him. Know him and experience him. And I love this. In verse 44, it says, and then he said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. The thing that Jesus gave them that put it all together after they came up or they touched him or they fell at his feet or they bowed down or they worshiped him is he again opened the word to them. The final source of peace before Jesus left them and ascended into heaven was the assurance of the word of God. The word. His word is alive. His word is true. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And we have the Word. So abide in the Word. Read the Word daily. Study the Word. Listen to the Word. Trust in the Word of Jesus. It's about relationship. Jesus opened the eyes of their understanding. And true understanding of the Word comes through personal revelation from Jesus Himself by the Spirit. Jesus Himself gives you insight and understanding. And I love how Jesus closes it in verse 46. And then He said to them, "Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Messiah to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father unto you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high." And He led them out as far as Bethany, and He lifted up His hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while He blessed them, that He was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshiped Him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. Jesus asks us to be a witness of Him. What is a witness? A witness is someone who faithfully tells what he has seen and what he has heard. I've got things I can tell you that I have seen and what I have heard. And that's why there is more of a fire that burns inside of me now than ever before in my life. I don't want to go back. I am more excited about Jesus Christ today than I've ever been in my whole life, and I can hardly wait until tomorrow comes, because it gets better and better and better, and deeper and more real and more tangible and more experiential. I see more. I hear more. Acts chapter 4, verse 20, "For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." As you go on into the New Testament in the book of Acts, the word witness is used in one way or another some 29 times. What does it mean? They just ran around telling people what they had seen and what they had heard. And Jesus kept revealing Himself and showing up. Jesus is here. And man, the world is like blinking lights. Everything the prophet said would be happening in the last days, setting it up for the latter years, just prior to the return of Christ, is happening right now before the eyes of the world. And those who have eyes to see and ears to hear are excited, and they are deep in prayer, and they're daily in the Word, and they are living for Jesus and being a witness of what they have seen and what they have heard with one another. Amen.
Pastor Ray Bentley with the final message in our studies in the Gospel of Luke. Glad you've been along for this journey here on Maranatha Radio. Today's study is titled, "He is Alive." If you missed any part of the presentation, you can hear a replay on iTunes or at raybentley.com. That's raybentley.com. We hope you'll stop by our site today. And then, after 30 years on the radio and the passing of Pastor Ray Bentley in early 2022, we've reached the end of the Maranatha Radio program. We'd like to thank you, our dedicated listeners, who've joined us through the years as we've journeyed with Pastor Ray through the Bible. We're excited to share that we have a dedicated online location to access all of Pastor Ray's content, including video, audio sermons, books, and more. Please visit raybentley.com to follow along with us in the future. And then, as we wrap up this final broadcast of Maranatha Radio, there have been many people working behind the scenes to bring you these daily programs. Let us thank some of these people whose contributions have been invaluable. Outstanding editors, John Gialli, thank you, John, Tim Spiker, Kurt Morse, and Al McGallen. My friend and colleague since the beginning at the Maranatha Production Department, Bob Gillespie, and Media Director Ken Kagawa. Of course, thank you to Pastor Daniel Bentley, the new senior pastor of Maranatha Chapel, and our brother in glory, Pastor Ray Bentley. And thank you to this station for partnering with us to bring you these daily studies. And all praise and glory to Jesus Christ, our Lord. Thanks so much for studying God's Word with us here on Maranatha Radio, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel, to the whole world. I'm Dave Spiker. Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.